King Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for America, Lord. Thank you for the red, white, and blue. And we just pray blessing over our nation. We bless this nation in Jesus' name. Lord, where others have cursed it, we bless it. We bless our state. We bless our nation. We bless our soldiers. We bless those that are fighting for us. We bless this land, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We bless it this weekend, God. And we ask for your grace, your protection, your blessing to be upon this land and upon our state, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. You're still holy. You're still in control. You're still a good, good Father. And so we lean into you today and we ask for wisdom. We ask for grace. We ask for insight. We ask for your love to be just released in this house. And God, I pray you would bless this message and just fill us today. Fill us with your grace. Fill us with your authority. Fill us with your anointing, God. Fill us with a just breakthrough right now. In Jesus' name, I just pray for your blessing on this message. And we love you in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody that agreed said amen. Amen. So 2 Samuel. I'm going to go from 2 Samuel and I'll go over to Isaiah 54, 2 Samuel chapter 9. But I was thinking, I've preached in the last few weeks, not last week, but before, I was preaching a little bit on identity. And I felt like it was important to kind of stay on that track a little bit. Somebody say identity. I think it's more important now than ever before. Because we have an entire generation and an entire nation, it seems, forgetting who we are. A generation in the church forgetting who we are, forgetting where we've come from, and an entire generation in America forgetting who we are and forgetting where we've come from. And so I think this thing of identity is really important to talk about right now and to begin to sow into. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9, there's this amazing story that has a lot to do with identity. And this is the story of King David and Mephibosheth. Say that five times. Mephibosheth. It's really an amazing story. And it's a story that we often gloss over. Because we know the big stories. We know David and Goliath, and we know all the battles, and we know when he fell. We know the story of Bathsheba. We know the ups and the downs. But this story, just kind of sandwiched in the middle, is so potent, and it's so significant for my heart, because I think many times a lot of us, not physically but maybe spiritually, we find ourselves like Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was... who was he? He was the grandson of Jonathan. Let's read a couple verses. Now David said, verse 1, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. Ziba? Not zebra. So when they called to him David the king, David the king said, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said, "He is down in Lodabar." Hallelujah. He's in Lodabar. Say Lodabar. "Then King David sent and brought him out of the house." There's all these names. I'm not going to even try to butcher them. I'm going to save you. He brought him out of that house from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? Question mark. And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I surely will show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." And then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that I should look upon, that you should look upon me, such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and all to his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Come on, somebody. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. You're like, wow, okay, yeah, I've read that in my Bible reading. That's a great story. Wonderful. But this is, it's so powerful. And it's a story of lost identity. And it's a story of a man, a grandson, not knowing where he came from. Not knowing his real inheritance, or being ashamed of it because his grandfather ended poorly. And sometimes we have individuals in our life that have made a couple of mistakes. And so instead of embracing all the good and embracing all the amazing that they've done, like America, there's so much good in America. Yes. And yes, there's some moments of just, you know, horrible things. But you don't throw the whole baby out with the bathwater, right? And I see this is maybe kind of what is happening here. There's shame, there's embarrassment, and he finds himself in this place called Lodabar. And Lodabar was off in the wilderness. And I just feel like a lot of us are in like a Mephibosheth season. We have found ourselves in the last couple years, maybe personally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally, we've found ourselves in this wilderness season, and we have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten our identity, we've forgotten our purpose, and we've forgotten our dreams. Somebody say amen. Unfortunately. But David the king says, "Is there somebody of the house of Saul?" And he finds Mephibosheth lame in his feet. He can't even walk. He's embarrassed. And he says, "Bring him to my table." You're no longer going to be out there ashamed in the wilderness. You're no longer going to wander and lose your identity. He's saying, "I'm bringing you to my table. You're going to be like my son." Like, this is so powerful. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 23. Amen. "I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies." And so we don't wait for wilderness seasons to go away. We don't wait for hopeless seasons to go away. We don't to dine with the king. You just lock eyes with the king and you recognize that Jesus will stand in your wilderness season. He'll stand in your hopeless situation. He'll say, I want you to come to my table. And your enemies are still here, but they're going to watch you dine with me."
Amen.
Come on. Come on. He's blessed and he's taken care of for the rest of his life. And he's reminded of who he is. David had honor for Saul, even though Saul was not a very honorable man. But David honored him until the day that Saul died. And David honored Jonathan. And now he's like, "I will honor his son." Because why? Because Jonathan and David made a covenant. And he said, "I will honor this covenant. I will honor all the descendants because I made a covenant with Jonathan." And so I just feel like the Lord is saying, he wants to remind you today of who you are. He wants to remind America of who she is. I feel like many times America in the last couple of years, we've been beaten up so bad. We've been tossed this way, tossed that way. We kind of feel like Mephibosheth, all lame and like hobbling in the desert, right? Like one more thing and one more thing, and gas is almost $7. You're like, yeah, I'll just walk. It's crazy. But in that kind of setting, we see the king show up.
Amen.
Come on. I believe Jesus is standing here right now, and he's calling us. He's calling us to his table. He's calling us to himself, and he's calling us out of wilderness. He's calling us out of exile. He's calling us out of hopelessness. And he's saying, I want to remind you of who you are. Come on, Simba. Remember who you are. Little Simba was... he was royalty. That little lion was royalty. And then he is lied to by the bad lion, remember? And so he runs away in shame, and he runs away, and he tries to forget where he came from. And then he has this encounter. I'll just call it an encounter because we're Christians. He has this encounter and this moment, and he hears the voice of the Father say, remember who you are.
Right.
You're a king.
I
just feel like the Lord is just saying this over us as the church, first before a nation, the church.
Yes.
Remember who you are.
Yeah.
You're not a lame servant. You're not a lame beggar sitting on the corner.
Yes.
You're my sons. You're my daughters. You can eat at the table. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
I just love that so much. And so you're like, well, how do I get out of the wilderness? How do I do this? I believe by faith that Jesus is here. I'm coming to church because I'm believing by faith that Jesus is here and he's looking at me. But practically, like, how do I do this? Have you ever asked those questions? I do. I like to get real. I like to get practical. And I like to have, I just like to have a way of freedom, a way of escape, a way of how to do this thing. And I feel like the Lord gives it to us. In Isaiah 54, this is one of the most incredible passages of Scripture. And it lays it out what I feel like we're supposed to do in this season as a church and in this season as a nation. As we celebrate 4th of July, our independence, there's something so potent about this. And this is Isaiah prophesying to the children of Israel. And this was not when they were like in their season of plenty. This was not 2016. It wasn't prophesying in 2016 when gas was great and everything was good and all the good stuff's happening. No, this is like him prophesying in 2022. And you're like, how could it get any worse? Well, it's the children of Israel were... the children of Israel were captives. They went from having everything to having nothing and being led to Babylon. And so in their wilderness and in their captivity, Isaiah begins to prophesy. He doesn't wait for him to get out of it. He prophesies in it. And I feel like he gives us this beautiful map to get out of whatever problem you're in. And he says this in Isaiah 54, sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Come on.
Right.
So the first thing that the Lord is speaking to my heart in 2022 is you want to get out of your wilderness. You want to get out of the struggle. Then worship.
Amen.
You got to sing.
Amen.
And it takes faith. This took faith for the children of Israel. They are barren. They're like And this is prophetically, this isn't just speaking like you're not just having physical babies. This is speaking of you're in captivity. You're not like you once were. And he's saying, but I want you to, despite what you see and despite what you feel, despite what's going on, despite what's in your bank account, I want you to sing.
Hallelujah.
And worship. You deal with barrenness and you deal with hard seasons and you deal with difficult and wilderness seasons by worship, by singing, by praising, and it breaks it. Come on, and it's such an act of faith. You're like, no, I know the struggle, I know the bills, I know all the stuff on the news, but I'm choosing to lock eyes with the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And it aligns our heart with the King of Kings. And we begin to, instead of, there's those sovereign moments when the king steps into your situation and he says, come to my table, right? You know it, you feel it, you sense it. But then there are the moments when you, by faith, step into worship and he welcomes you to the table. Just get to the table. I know it's in, like this morning, the team was leading us in praise and worship. And I felt in my heart, as I just felt hope and I felt faith. I felt life just being stirred up in me. As I lifted my eyes, did it take away all the problems in the world? No. But my heart shifted. My heart was now in alignment. And I was looking at everything from an aerial perspective, Amen. From a heavenly perspective. Instead of ground warfare, I'm looking from his perspective, which is always victory. So we fight from victory. We don't fight for victory. Come on, somebody. And, you know, since it's the 4th of July and we're, you know, talk about our freedom and all this, I was reminded of the famous painting, and not just painting, but it's a story of George Washington. And it's the prayer at Valley Forge. It's a beautiful painting, but it's more than a beautiful painting. It's a super powerful moment in history where everything, you know, there was the battle. They're trying to take back, and England's coming, and they're invading, and they're shooting, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And it feels like, and it looks like we're going to lose. And here comes George Washington. He goes into the woods, into the forest, and he begins to pray. And he begins to cry out to the Lord for assistance, for help. And there was one man that saw and heard something happening in the forest. And so he went to go look. And he said, I've never heard a man talk to God like that. I've never heard a man, especially in uniform, talk to God that way. And he said, but it was holy. And he left. And he had to go. He went and he told his wife. And so singing, you know, singing is not only, it's not just projecting your voice, and it's not just worship songs, it's the attitude of your heart. Yes. It's the attitude of, I look to you. There's bullets flying by. Everything looks crazy, but I look to you. You're the answer. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to cry out to God because you're everything.
Yes.
And we know that story in history, it was so miraculous. Like we were dead dogs. And God, only God came through. Because of the prayer of our founding fathers.
Yes.
Because of the position of their heart. The alignment of their heart to heaven.
Yes.
Will you sing? Will you cry out? Will you pray when all hell is breaking loose?
Yes.
Because if you will, you'll come out of your wilderness. You'll come out of the battle alive. You'll come out of the battle with testimonies. I mean, there's so many incredible testimonies of George Washington. He had so many people praying for him. And he would pray every single day, but he had so many like intercessors and prayer warriors praying around him. You've read all the stories. The bullet holes through his jacket. They had all these 13. Bullet holes. 13?
13.
All the bullet holes through his jacket. They're like, you should be dead. And he's like, yeah, I should be dead. It was the Lord's hand upon this man's life. And I believe it started with the positioning of his heart. Like, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. I don't understand everything. And that's the beauty of the Christian faith. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have everything figured out. We don't have to, you know, have your end time theology just perfect. Just know that he's good, that he's faithful, that he's awesome, and that he loves you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sing, O barren. You who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Come on, just do that for the next 10, 15 seconds. Just close your eyes. Just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Come on. Oh, we bless your name. We bless you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you. We cry out to you, Lord. In a dry and weary land where there seems to be no water, Lord, we've searched for you in the sanctuary. We've searched for you, God. You're holy. You're worthy. And we just align our hearts with you right now. We worship you. We look to you. We cry out to you. God, we cry out to you. Oh, with all that's within us, we worship you. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We deal with barrenness. We deal with hard seasons through worship. We deal with hard seasons, difficult seasons, with praise, through prayer. We don't deal with it with flesh and blood. We deal with it in the Spirit. Oh, God, you're worthy. God, you're holy. God, you're faithful. Lord, the battle is on, but you're still on the throne. The battle is raging, God, but you are still holy. You are still worthy. You're still worthy of it all. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It says, sing. Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. You who have not borne. Break. This is such a declaration, and they're probably like, excuse me? I don't want to do that. You see my chains? Do you see my shame? Do you see? I haven't had a new pair of clothes in a couple years. And you want me to sing? Yeah, sing. And the next thing he says this, verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. Come on. Israel was in captivity, and this is speaking of restoration. Restoration. And he's saying, yeah, the winds might get heavy, the winds might blow, but I want you to widen your tent, widen your capacity, widen what you're doing right now, and put those tent stakes in. Put them deep down.
Yes.
Come on, you're staying a while. The wind's not going to blow you like it talks about in James. It's not going to blow you to and fro.
Nope.
Your stakes are going down. Enlarge, that's speaking of increase. It's speaking of breakthrough.
Yes.
You know, I remember even during the last couple years, with everything going on, it's like, man, sometimes it's hard to dream. Sometimes it's hard to have faith and vision for the future. But, you know, I love my wife. Heather's so awesome and has so much faith. I remember she used to just get her little vision board. And for a lot of women, the vision board looks like Pinterest. Amen. Amen. So she'd get her little Pinterest vision board. I mean, it truly was a vision board. And she'd get these things on just stuff for our future and stuff for the church's future. And she would just, oh, this is what it's going to look like. And this is where we're going. And this is what we're doing. And in my heart says yes, but my mind says, are you crazy? But you can't rationalize, and you can't look at stuff with your mind and with your naked eye. You have to see with the Spirit, with your heart. They couldn't do that in the natural. They couldn't enlarge the place of their dwelling. But by faith, knowing that the increase is coming, knowing that breakthrough is here, they have to. And what is Isaiah saying in that, in the enlarging? He's basically saying, The curse is broken. The shame is broken off of your last season. The shame and the embarrassment and all that you carried from the wilderness season, from the season of captivity, from the season of sickness, from the season of just wandering is broken. And now I want you to enlarge. Say enlarge. In verse 3 it says this. So he says sing. Say sing. Verse 2, enlarge, say enlarge. And verse 3, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. That's a good word right there. He's telling a bunch of people in captivity to take your land back. Take the territory. Advance. Advance. And this is so, it just reminds me of Joshua. You know, it was like they're up against a wall. There's no way we can win but God. And they became the most feared army in that land, in that region, because they trusted the Lord. Remember the time when they came up against five different armies, like Joshua and the children of Israel. They were goners. There's no way they could come out alive in this one. Five armies, and there was five hidden kings that were working in a cave to make sure that this army was dead, defeated, and they wanted Joshua's head on a platter. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And if you are a praying man, a praying woman, a worshiping man, a worshiping woman, God is going to come through. I just believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And we saw the victory for Joshua. We saw the victory for Moses. We see the victory in so many people's lives in Scripture and in church history. And you're going to see the victory. Whatever you're facing today, and I know we're all facing different things. And there's relational problems. There's financial problems. There's all these different things besides COVID. There's so many things that could make you feel like you're in a wilderness season. But the Lord is drawing us back to His table. And He wants you to sing again. He wants you to expand. He wants you to enlarge. And that was the whole reason. In 2021, we launched out into Bishop. And again, my mind's like, you're stupid. You're crazy. You cray cray. Why are you expanding when the economy is going crazy? Why? Because I see out amongst the people, I see addictions going through the roof. I see people dying. I hear of people dying all the time of drug overdoses like never before. Suicide is through the roof. I see it. And what am I going to do? Do we just hide in a corner and wait for this all to go away and just say, we did our best and at least we're still alive? Or do we act like Joshua? Do we act like the children of Israel in this situation and say, I don't have it all together, but we're expanding for the sake of a generation? And that's the whole reason why we're partnering with this ministry for the women that are having unplanned pregnancy. It's like we don't have it all together. We don't know everything what to do, but we can love and we can give some hope and we can give a helping hand. We can give a warm cup of coffee. We can say it's going to be okay. Come on. Expand. Say expand. Last week I was at home and I got a call from my good brother. Where is he? Andy. And he gave me a call and he was reminding me, team, you can go up there. You can get ready to play something in just a minute. But Andy called me and he was reminding me of a dream that I had a few years ago. And he said, I feel like that dream you had a couple years ago is happening now. Like this is the moment. This is the time. And so I just wanted to share that dream again because as he said that, it just really just started resonating with me. And I do feel this is the season and time we're in. In the dream I had, it was a few years back, and I was at this, it almost looked like a train museum. And it was a deserty place. It looked kind of like Law's Museum down in Bishop. And I walked out, and I saw this huge, big, beautiful train. And I just remember looking at it, and I'm like, wow, that is a beauty. You know, in my dream, I'm thinking this. But it was covered in dirt. It was covered in spider webs. You couldn't even see the track that was in front of it anymore. It was just total desert, total dirt. There was nowhere for this train to even go. And I was looking at this in my dream, and all of a sudden, I hear the engine click over. And it begins to turn on, and the rattling was so strong that it began to shake all the dust and dirt off the train track.
Yeah.
And I begin to see a track be perfectly formed, and all of a sudden it began to move, and it was moving slowly. You know how trains do. And it was moving, and then it began to take speed. And then the cobwebs began to get blown off. And I saw spiders that were hidden in different places go out the windows, and bats were flying out, and all the dust and debris. And then it came back around, and it was beautiful, pristine, perfect condition. And then I see this sweet little lady. She's been coming here for a long time. Her name's Carol Walden, and she was there in the olden days with Joyce and Albie and everybody. And she opens the window, and she says, "Come on in, everybody. It's great inside." And people start piling in and fill up the whole train. And then it takes off. And in the dream, I knew that the train represented Church of the Mountain. And I feel like for several years, there's been a kind of a wilderness, deserty season. But the train is still there. It's still beautiful. It's still powerful. And the Lord is saying, this is the season where we are moving with speed. This is the season where we see the tracks emerge again, where we have vision again, where we know where we are going again. And even this morning, as I was just praying, I just had this in my heart, in my spirit, that, yeah, that is our church. But I just want to declare that over all of us individually. I feel like because of the last 2 years, many of us feel like that train. We've had prophecies. We've come to this church, other churches. You've had people prophesy over you. You've had dreams and visions, and you've had your own vision board. But the last 2 years has kicked your butt. And you feel like you're just left in the desert, and you can't see your tracks. You're just collecting dust and cobwebs. But I just declare over you today that you're moving. You're moving forward. That the Lord is shaking away all that has held you back. And the discouragement, the depression, the anxiety, the fear, all the things that have been on you are shaking off right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just declare freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we just declare that over our church family, over our lives personally, over this nation. Yeah, and America is just like that train as well. Amazing, big, beautiful train. But many have forgotten. And it's just this old thing that you see in a museum. Well, that was good. The good old days. I remember. But we don't need to just live in yesterday. We need testimonies today. We need testimonies of revival today.
Yeah.
We need testimonies of our schools being transformed today. We need testimonies of just mass baptisms today. We need the testimonies that our great-grandchildren are going to say about us. Man, oh, it was awesome. Even during a pandemic, the Lord moved so strong. The church was unstoppable. Nothing could stop them. They were full of love, full of passion, full of grace, full of mercy. That's my grandpa. That was my dad and my mom. I want my kids to be able to say that of me. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you are causing us to be expanded on the inside in our spirits. And that by faith, we will enlarge. By faith, we will sing. When we feel barren, when we feel anxious, when we feel tired and depressed, God, we choose to sing. Yeah, one second. I'm just gonna share a verse, but I want to tell you verse 4, verse 5. I feel it kind of sums this up. It ties this whole thing together. It says, "Do not fear." Say, "Do not fear."
Yeah.
Do not fear, because this is a scary thing what the Lord is calling you into, and He's calling us into. It sometimes feels scary. How can I do this? Am I doing this by faith? How do I do this, Lord? He says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. And you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." You're not going to hold on. You're not going to be able to remember the shame of your yesterday. There was this beautiful testimony that Soto, our Mongolian brother, shared a couple weeks ago. And he was talking about waiting for a child for 15 years. Waiting for a son for 15 years. Carrying in his heart and in his spirit so much shame and so much embarrassment. Because in the Mongolian culture, especially, if you can't have a son, if you can't have a child, that you looked down upon. And so he carried this with them, and they had so much rejection and insecurity. And then all of a sudden, 15 years later, the promise comes. They have a son. And he said in an instant, the pain was gone. He said right here, they could not remember the shame of yesterday. They tried so hard to remember what that last season felt like, but they couldn't remember it. They couldn't remember it. You will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Anne has a verse.
I don't have a verse.
Oh, got something. Okay.
I won't take long. And I thought, I'll just call you, Mike, during the week and ask if I can share next week. But I think the timing of this is perfect. I'll try to keep it together. My mom just passed last Thursday on June 23rd. And I knew it was coming. We knew this was happening. And when I got the call, I wasn't with her, but I had just pulled into the toy company. I got the call. I went numb inside. Literally, I was numb. And I called Joe, and I like cried out from my innermost being. Even though it is wonderful, it is glorious, it is all good. She's with Jesus. She's not lame in a bed anymore. But I was numb, and so I ran over to the care center, and, the nurses were there. They were greeting me. They're just like, come on in. And I stayed numb until, and there was a traveling nurse that would come through the care center, and she had just been there a couple months earlier, and we connected and talked and prayed and shared. Well, she was my mom's nurse that day. And I saw her, and I gave her a big hug, and I said, "Come, sing with me." And I'm numb, and she we went in the room. We were in the room with Mom, and the door was shut. And she goes, "I don't know what to sing." I go, "I don't know either." I just go, "Hallelujah, hallelujah!" The two of us are worshiping, crying out, thanking the Lord, praising Him, and all of a sudden, the breakthrough came. I wasn't numb anymore. I was spirit, soul, and body. And I immediately began to see the kingdom of heaven all around us. The room was filled with his angels, yeah. His glory. And I saw my mom's face in spirit over her bed, smiling from ear to ear. And later Joe said, was she young? And I thought back and I said, she had no wrinkles. And she died, she passed from this earth to heaven in complete glory and transition to be with the Lord in glory. But I thought that story, which I thought, oh, I should talk to Mike and I should plan this out. Really, the timing is here because I was numb and I got release from worshiping God. And then I got to see in the spirit what was going on as well. So here's a real live testimony here and now, amen. Today, right now. This is my anchor. Thank you.
Come on. That's good. Before we end, let's just pray over the Rousek family. God, we thank you for Anne, and we thank you for her mother. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the kids and the grandkids. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that she would always have that vision at the forefront of her mind. And God, I just pray that you would just turn this season of sadness into a season of just great joy. And I just pray for unity in her family, restoration of anything that has tried to be stolen, Lord. And I just pray for just a great inheritance, spiritual inheritance. In the name of Jesus, I just bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the singing her way out of the wilderness. Yeah, come on. That was the best way to end my message. And so I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing. And we're all in different seasons of our life. And no matter what you feel like today, I want you to lock eyes with the King of Kings by faith and just begin to worship him, begin to sing to him, and allow him to grab your hand and pull you to the King's table. Thank you, Jesus.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Touching every heart, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship. even when I don't see it. When I feel it, your way. That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Why don't you just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, to the right and to the left. And if you're going through something right now, and if you feel like you're in Lodabar in some way, I just want you to, you don't have to give the person all the details, but there's power when we come together. There's breakthrough when we become vulnerable. So I just want you to just let that person know so they could just release blessing, life, and heaven's perspective over you. If they don't have an issue, praise God, just bless them. Bless them in the name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you for this day. We pray your grace and blessing. Thank you for America. God bless America. God bless the USA. Amen and amen. Forevermore.